So I'm Jim Tobin. I'm with a company called Carousel. I also started a company called Ignite Social Media in 2007. So I've been playing in the space when all of these logos were actually legitimate, even though I can't remember some of them. And with me today is Jodi Kier. I've never said your last name. Is it Kier?
It is Kier. You're right.
Okay, good.
So I'm Jodi Kier. I am the senior brand manager at Walgreens for our own brand department. So you might be familiar with the term private label. We like to call it own brand because it makes it our own. So I'm really excited to be here today. I've actually been working with Jim's team for almost 3 years now on influencer campaigns on the brand Nice. So what is Nice? Nice is a balanced food and beverage brand. That word balance is really important to us because as we rebranded Nice recently, we're trying to be more healthy. And more health focused. However, we know that sometimes you had a really long week and you just need that gummy bear at the end of your work week on a Friday. And so we want you to feel good about the choices that you're making, and we want them to be delicious at the same time as well. We have over 300 products in our brand. It spans snacks, beverages, nuts, grocery, frozen food, and they're split up into three tiers. So we have an everyday line, which is a number of your more national brand equivalents. So if you're thinking about an Oreo versus what your own brand Oreo equivalent would be, like that. We also have a premium line. So got an example here of a premium item. This is actually my favorite water, our Nice Premium Iceland Pure Spring Water, which is more premium ingredients and sometimes unique flavors. And then we also have an organic line as well. We have ingredient guardrails for this brand. So again, as I mentioned, trying to be more healthful and health focused. So we have some table stakes across every product in our brand, 0 grams trans fat, real ingredients. So if you pick up a chocolate item, it has to be 100% real chocolate, no compound chocolate at all. And then actually across about 95% of the line, we've removed high fructose corn syrup, and a percentage a little bit lower than that, maybe about 80%, we've removed artificial flavors as well. So hopefully a lot of you have noticed the new Nice packaging. It's been on shelf since 2017. Has anyone noticed that? And I'm getting nods, hands. Okay, great. So we redefined the positioning to be simple, honest, and delicious. So delicious because it is food. At the end of the day, you want your food to be delicious. And simple and honest because with those ingredient guardrails, we're trying to be more transparent so that our consumers, she can help make healthier choices and be confident in the choices that she's making. So we've actually branded a health corner in the top left-hand corner of our packaging that always gives you your calories per serving, as well as any other key claims that are important to that product, whether it's non-GMO, no artificial ingredients, and so forth. And then we also stamp all of our products with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. That's actually something that all of Walgreens' own brands has. And what it means is that we're going to stand behind the quality in our product. So if you go to the store, you purchase a Nice bag of nuts, you open it up and you say, you know what, I really don't like this, you can bring it back to the store, no questions asked. And then finally, the tiered system that we implemented when we relaunched this brand allowed Walgreens to launch organic food. It gave us the credibility, it gave us the positioning to be able to come out with that organic tier. And it was the first time Walgreens actually brought organic food to its shelves. So why influencers for Nice? As you can imagine, working on an own brand, I have an incredibly small budget. And I have to figure out how to really maximize my reach with that small budget. And so influencer marketing is a great way to maximize reach on a small budget. Really get the word out beyond just Walgreens channels, but through all social media channels with influencers. It really helped to bring to life the new brand positioning and educate audiences about our health corner, about our guarantee, and about some of the core products that really resonate in our hero products for the line. And then we also used influencers to drive trial. So we had them do some social shops at the store to really help to connect from social media into getting them into Walgreens stores and to purchase our Nice brand.
All right. So I'm going to take a step back now into general influencer marketing and some of the trends we've seen and how we're trying to address them with what we're doing for Jody's team at Walgreens on the Nice brand. And I've started, my first influencer marketing campaign was probably 2008 when you could just email some free product and they would, oh, somebody wrote to me. And that's long over. It's like some of these logos. And now influencer's sort of having its day, right? One stat I saw is that 20% of all the content we consume in a given day, including television, including radio, including print, is created by influencers. It's hard to believe for someone like me, 52 years old, but for my child who's 16, my youngest child is 16, I think she's probably 108% of the media she consumes is influencer created. But so that's really becoming important. And most of the marketers who have tried influencer marketing are saying, this stuff's good, this stuff is working. This actually, I forgot to update that number. It's 2 billion. It was 1 billion in 2018. We estimate 2 billion will be spent on influencer in 2019 by brand. So that's all good. There's some good sales data out here. If you haven't seen this, feel free to hit me on Twitter or email me, jim@carousel.com, and I can send you this whole study. But they did a study with Silk Almond Milk. And they ran a study where they did a Nielsen Catalina, which is really sort of a gold standard for measuring sales lift, was able to go back and look at a group of people for the last 52 weeks and track all the amount of time they bought Silk Almond Milk. Then they separated a test and control group that was similar. Some of them saw influencer content about Silk Almond Milk, and some of them didn't. For every 1,000 people exposed to the influencer content, they sold $285 of more milk versus the control group. This is a significant amount of milk being moved. In fact, it was although I don't know they're allowed to call it milk anymore, but anyway, a lot of soy milk being moved. So what they found was this was about 16 times more effective than the average banner ad campaign that Nielsen tracks. So this stuff does work. That's good. But you talk to a lot of marketers today about influencer, and you get a lot of eye rolls. Oh, yeah, influencer, all those fake followers, all that fake engagement. Yeah, I'm going to reach a bajillion people, but I don't know who they are. I don't know that they're my target audience. I don't know that they're ever going to buy my product. And I've talked to all these companies, and they tell me for $20,000, I'm going to reach 300 million impressions. And that doesn't sound possible. And pro tip, it's not. We don't know who we're engaging. You told me I had 6,000 engagements in that campaign, but I don't know who they were. And I can't predict if I give you $50,000 what I'm going to get out of it. So these are all problems in influencer that are solved in most other platforms. And that's why most marketers in the country say, if I think about influencer marketing, my number one challenge is ROI. So that's what we set out to fix. How do you make influencer marketing not suck? It was the fundamental question we asked ourselves. So the reason we have trouble with it, we as marketers, is because of the way most influencer marketing is set up. So most influencer marketing, you hire influencers, they post to their social shares, and then everybody prays. Right? And maybe something good happened. Maybe, you know, 92% of marketers said this stuff's effective, so not sure how they know because 76% can't measure, but whatever. So it sometimes works, but we don't know if it did sometimes. We don't know why it did. And in every other digital marketing where this orange arrow is, we would be optimizing, right? But you can on influencer because, you know, Susie and Johnny posted and look, they got some clicks and maybe you're tracking track links. So how do you fix this? So the way we fix it is a couple ways. Number one, we're going to hand select influencers based on audience composition of the influencers first. Not are they a foodie in New York, because you need to reach not a foodie influencer in New York, you need to reach a foodie audience in New York, for example. So their audience fit, then their brand fit. Or is this the kind of person you want representing your brand? I'm gonna do, I did an A, I did a B, a C is coming, and then content fit. Do they produce the types of content that will drive results for you? If you want traffic to your website, you do not wanna do blogs and you do not wanna do videos. They don't convert to clicks. If you want max reach among your target audience, you may want those. So we're going to switch up the content type depending on what your business objective is. Second step's exactly the same. Susie and Johnny share. But then in addition to prayer, nothing wrong with a little prayer, we're going to test and score each and every piece of content. So every tweet, every Facebook Live video, every blog post, which pieces are producing the best? One of the questions I get asked a lot is, does hashtag ad ruin content? And the answer is it ruins bad content. But great content, it doesn't hurt. So we figure out by looking at not only the data, what's getting the most likes, comments, and shares, but then looking at each piece by hand to make sure those comments are relevant. If they're talking about Jody's cheese popcorn in a post, fabulous, by the way, and all the comments are about the influencer's red blouse, that's not a great piece of content, even if it gets the most likes. So which pieces of content are doing the best? And we've done, I don't know, 150 plus of these campaigns over and over again. 20 to 25% of the content breaks through. It's not hurt by hashtag ad. It does unusually well over and over again. So then we take that high performing content and we boost it to reach the exact right target audience. The way we do it is we actually get advertiser rights to all of our influencers' Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and or Pinterest accounts. We go in as them and we boost it to the exact right target audience. Not by hitting the boost button, never hit the boost button, but by actually going in Ads Manager and optimizing it every day. And so now we're getting only the best content in front of only the best people. And because of that, you can expect some decent results. So this is how we applied that to Jody's brand, Nice.
So this is actually one of my favorite pieces of content. As I mentioned, I've been working with Jim's team for about 3 years. We have done 3 different influencer campaign flights, and we have a 4th planned for this year. Those flights have all been planned around strategic timeframes for the brand that fit with our messaging. So we've focused around the back-to-school timeframe the most, where we can talk about healthy snacking for moms, for their kids, and also around the new year time, around, you know, a new year for a new you and how to make healthy decisions when you're looking at your New Year's resolutions. And it's all really been about driving awareness. I know from my brand tracking internally that I have an awareness problem with my brand, which is not uncommon for an own brand. But I also know that if I can get a consumer aware of my brand, that I have a really good conversion rate to trial. And so that's why this is a great tool for me to build awareness for the Nice brand, as well as just drive them into the store, because it can help build their basket within the total store and cross shop my brand as well. Influencer has also been a great way to educate that consumer on the new Nice positioning, on our brand guardrails, and really being a transparent brand that they can start to look at the labeling and start to trust our quality products that we're putting out on shelf. And then finally, we've also used it to actually geo-target around some of our top doors when consumers are within a 5-mile radius of those doors. So we've also hand-selected all of the influencers that we work with. So we've grouped them into 2 key themes, your health conscious families, as well as Generation Fabulous, which is really your new moms who are just more health focused every day and are more concerned about the foods that they're giving their kids on a day-to-day basis. And grouping into these themes has really helped to ensure that the content being created is coming from a consistent voice and a consistent message, so that it all kind of loops together to create that one holistic campaign. Within all of our different campaigns, we've also started to work with influencers more than once. So these 4 influencers you see up here, these first 2, we've actually been working with through each of our 3 flights and have plans to work with them again in this 4th one. And so that has really helped to create some brand ambassadors for us and some loyalists, where we've actually seen some of these influencers that we've continued to work with start to post themselves outside of the campaign period, which has been great, because that, even though I'm paying them during the campaign period, that's, you know, additional free media for my brand. Here's some of the kind of key content, these great stories that the top influencers have come out with. So 6 tips to make back to school easier was all about proportion sizes and how some of our single serve snacks can be great for healthy choices during the lunchtime. Busy parents count on the convenience of Nice. So Walgreens is all about convenience and accessibility, and Nice will be there whether you're running to go outside with your kids or you're picking them up from school and you forgot to bring snack to soccer practice. Preschool morning routine, so getting on their checklist. And then finally, which is one of my favorites, a fun lunchbox notes and snack ideas, really showing them how the products within the Nice brand can fit into their lunchbox. So the different content creation we've gotten through all of these campaigns have been a mixture of blogs, of organic storytelling, videos, actually integrating the Nice brand into different recipes. So you'll see down here this peanut chocolate toffee where they use Nice peanuts to create it. So super creative, super engaging. Also social shares, social shops. So it's been really great engaging content. And then with that, as Jim mentioned, we can test and score that content in real time and take the best performing posts and then put some paid media behind it, which again, working on very small budgets on an own brand, this is a great way for me to get content that I can actually start to reuse through Walgreens channels as well as boost through the influencer program.
So as we boost for the influencers, you can see it's coming from the influencers' handles, Friday We're in Love and Savvy Saving Couple and Mama in Heels. It's coming, we're sponsoring it and we're boosting it through there. But this gives us a lot of flexibility to do a couple things with it. One, we can geo-target it. So Jody mentioned high-performing stores. Let's get people when they're within 5 miles of a Walgreens. They have 8,000 of them. It's not that hard to be within 5 miles of a Walgreens, but let's get those high-performing stores to sort of heavy up on the exposures. We can daypart it. So we didn't for this one, but we did a program for Tyson meal kits. So we heavied up the influencer exposure between 3 and 6 o'clock at night when people were wondering what they were going to do for dinner. We can take a Facebook post that the influencer did and boost it on Instagram. We can take a link post that they did and change it to a carousel ad. So it's still their words, still their images, but we can make sure, optimizing it every day, that we're reaching a specific amount of results, because before each campaign, we promise Jody a particular outcome that we will reach with that campaign. And then the community does respond to this content, and it's great to see the community sort of echoing some key messages here. You know, good deals on healthy snacks, I love me some Walgreens, healthy options. We get our prescriptions from Walgreens, but I never paid attention to their grocery items. That's something that Walgreens, you know, you typically go into a Walgreens, you either shop front of the store or you shop back of the store. The ideal situation is you shop both, right? So the comments, not from the influencers, but from the people who are exposed to the content, are echoing the messages that we want people to get, people to learn from this. And then across time, she mentioned that we have some people we've worked with multiple times, and some even become Walgreens VIPs. Well, that's because at the end of each flight that we do, we stack rank each influencer's performance. So it takes all of their content performance, their engagement, their reach, it even factors in efficiency. So if one costs more than the other and gets the same amount, she would be ranked lower because she costs more to do the same thing. So we can stack rank the performance of the lowest performing influencer all the way to the highest, and we re-engage the high performing influencers for the next campaign, and over time it gets more and more efficient.
Has anyone here ever taken part in a Twitter party? Yeah, a couple hands. So Twitter parties have been incredibly successful for the Nice Influencer campaign. The first ever Twitter party that we ran, it was hosted by the brand as well as a team of influencers that we were working with in the campaign, where consumers could win Nice goodie bags as well as a gift card to Walgreens. And our first Twitter party garnered 56.5 million impressions during that 1 hour period. 56.5 million. That was record setting for any Walgreens influencer campaign that the company has ever run. It was also record setting for any Twitter party that Carousel had worked on, not just with Walgreens, but for other companies as well. So this brand just really lent itself to this, which was great. The other Twitter party that we ran in another campaign, our hashtag SimplyNice during that 1 hour time was right up there with Bachelor in Paradise and VMAs, which was all around the same kind of time frame. So these have worked incredibly well to drive engagement with the brand. Other things that we've done is a collaborative pin board, which is a great place to aggregate all of that shareable content, and then helps to drive long-term brand engagement because this can be repinned at any time. So it continues that awareness driving as consumers are organically searching and discovering for Nice brand. And then finally, we also had a social activation sweepstakes. So again, the prizes were the same as that Twitter party where you could win nice goodie bags, you could win a gift card to Walgreens, and it really drove engagement with the brand as well as with Walgreens' social channels. So you had to visit our nice landing page, you had to visit Walgreens on Instagram and such to really drive that engagement with the retailer and the brand.
So we started this, I think it was 2017 was the first program, and influencers shifting under our feet really, really rapidly. And so as we get ready to launch this summer another program for NICE, we're making some changes to deal with how the world's sort of changing. So we're switching to counting TrueView impressions instead of max potential. If you don't know the difference, max potential, if I have 10,000 Twitter followers and I tweet, max potential would count that as 10,000 impressions. It's a lie. It on average, it's about 350 people would see a tweet with 10,000 followers. So we're counting 350. We're actually getting true views off of our platform now. And visual content has really taken off, and Instagram's really doing well, not only in terms of engagement, but in terms of true views, because organic reach on Instagram is more like 30%, while on Facebook for influencers, it's around 4 to 6%. For brands, it's around 2%. So Instagram's really become important. And ephemeral content, which is a SAT way of saying stories, is really working. And Instagram stories are really working for us as well. Snapchat has dropped off the face of the earth in terms of anyone wanting to use it for influencer. But the stories on Instagram and Facebook have really, particularly Instagram, are really working well for us. Visual and video is going well, but we're not seeing IGTV do anything from an influencer standpoint. We have never had a brand ask for it, and we have never had an influencer ask to use their IGTV channel on any of our programs. So despite the big announcement, it's not doing anything on the influencer space that we can see. We talked about organic reach continuing to decline, which is why our boosting strategy becomes so important to make sure we can get those true views in a meaningful way. We do see on Jody's content in particular, but not only her content, but on hers in particular, that content that really adds value is what drives, gets the best results in that stack ranking we do of it. So tutorials, recipes, DIYs, you know, we talked about the one piece of content where they made toffee with nice peanuts. People like to engage with those sort of things versus, you know, buy nice. Kind of content. And Twitter parties, while they work really well for Jody's brand, generally speaking, Twitter parties and sweeps have just plunged in engagement, particularly in the last 12 months. We've kind of walked away from doing those. And then the other thing we've started looking at in every campaign now is what's called saturation rates. So if you're not familiar with this term, you should be. It's what percentage of an influencer's content is paid for. And if it gets above 20%, we stop using that influencer. We have some influencers we used to use a lot who are now 100% paid content. Their engagement rate is just dropped off a cliff. Nobody's engaging with their stuff anymore. Brands are still, we talked to one of the influencers we used to use. She asked why we don't use her. We told her, and she's like, I get it, I'm sorry, but I'm getting so many offers, I'm gonna get paid. We said, that's great, just not by us. So watch for saturation rates as well. This is what we've been able to do over the last, for the first three flights with Jody. We've used 94 influencers. We've developed a huge number of impressions. The digital media equivalency value, so what we're able to do there is say, okay, if you had run premium banner ads, what would it have cost to get you this exposure? And I can assure you, Jody did not spend $1.625 million on this program. I would love it if she would, but and these 281,000 measurable engagements that we're able to do, and now for many brands, we're even able to see who is engaging. So we can see, you know, 70% of engagements were from women aged 25 to 45. We can see sort of those sorts of things as well. We have an algorithm that calculates the total attention that people have spent with the content. So, you know, a like takes 2 seconds, a comment takes 7 seconds, you know, those sort of things, and add that all up to 1.5 million minutes. We've done over 1,700 pieces of content for Jody in three flights, but 366 of them are original. So if I take a piece of a photo and I share it on Instagram and Twitter, that is one unique piece of content and two total pieces of content. So you want both. But Jody has 366 pieces of content that have been stack ranked by organic performance that she can now go to the Walgreens channel and say, here's my highest performing back to school post for NICE. Let's use it a year later, back to school time, on the Walgreens channel. And that content would have, we estimate, cost her about $72,000 to have an agency produce 366 unique pieces of content. So what Walgreens was able to do was set clear goals. She's come to us each time with clear goals. I'm relaunching the brand, I want back to school, those sorts of things. We're able to determine the best content in real time. Nobody knows before a program starts which pieces or which influencers are gonna do the best. And then target that content by interest. A Walgreens shopper fits a particular profile, their highest value shopper. How can we make sure he or she is seeing this content, and how can we make sure we optimize it every day? Quick example for another brand that was doing e-commerce, so we could actually see the conversions every day. We saw one piece of influencer content. It was a carousel post, spelled the right way, not the weird way I do it. It was driving the most conversions. And after 3 days, it stopped. It's called ad rot. It happens all the time, right? It just stopped converting. We took the third image, we moved it to the front, sales started clicking again. So if you're optimizing in there every day, you can really drive to sales. They have all this content that they can use, and they know how it's already performed in the wild, and they're modifying the model. We're modifying the model together as the industry is changing underneath. So that's all we have for the planned part of this, and I think I can't even read my watch. I think we have time for questions, though. Yeah.
Did you say you monitor content in real time? Is that something that your company does, or is there like a software that's available?
We do it through a platform, and there are a lot of platforms. So the key is there's two sorts of influencer platforms out there. One is sort of the scraper, the company that comes in and tells you, I have 20 million influencers on my platform. I'm like, do you? And then there's the companies that have opted in. And when somebody opts in and they connect their social platforms, then we can pull through APIs all that sort of data. So there's different kinds. There's like Meltwater is one that says, I think the guy told me they had 800 million influencers or something. I'm like, there's only 300 million Americans. Like, like it sounds excessive. And then there's others like Tap Influence, which was just bought by IZEA. They have opt-in. And then there's hybrid ones where they have a big sort of scrape, and then when you hire someone, they opt in to work with you, and then you can pull that data. But there's I think somebody was mentioned the other day, there's like 700 influencer software platforms out there. It's a little mind-boggling right now. We are not one of them. We don't sell software. Other questions? Yeah. So we pull out of the platform all the API data on the content performance, and then we add in our own, then we have to get our media stuff because none of the platforms do the media, and we have to put the media data in, and then we look at each piece of content by hand because we have to make sure it's FTC compliant, complies with the brand brief that Jody's approved. And so while we're doing that, we give it a quality score with between 1 to 5. That's all put into Excel, and then I've got the most incredible, I still don't even know what VLOOKUP is, but there's all sorts of words like that. And then it stack ranks it algorithmically. Yeah. Took a while to figure it out.
I have another question.
Yeah.
You said you have several campaigns throughout the year. Is there an average of how many influencers, or how do you select them in terms of like number per flight per campaign? Is that by like geographic location or?
So it's not by geographic location, but it is by their targeted audience and the target of that influencer themselves, and ensuring that that matches with my target consumer for NICE.
Yeah, and then we do a lot of math on the budget. What do we expect each influencer to charge? How much money do we need to leave for media? How big is the budget for this flight? How many influencers can we afford? How many influencers can we afford is part of it. And then the other question is, how many influencers do we need if we're going to do it through this method? So for e-commerce brands, Amazon's a client of ours, for example. So we don't use every, like, if for the same price, another influencer marketing company would probably use twice as many influencers as I would, because I'm saving half the money basically for the media side, and I only need enough to figure out what that 20 to 25% of the content is to bubble up to then know I can burst it out there. The other way of doing it is all I'm getting is the influencer's audience, so I need as many influencers as I can, and then you're relying all on organic reach, which is difficult. And so once Jody signs this little contract document, it's 4 weeks is the standard. Now we've done, we did a vitamin company, Nature Made, and the influencers needed to take the vitamins for a month, so that added another month to the 4 weeks, so 8 weeks. But normally it's 4 weeks, and during that time period, what's happening is we're finalizing the strategy with Jody, and then we develop a welcome packet for the influencers, which is half creative brief and half contract. You must be FTC compliant. You can't do this. Like Hallmark, we've done some stuff where they'd say never have the cards flat. The cards need to have dimension. So there's like creative direction in there, those sorts of things, right? Cards need dimension, Hallmark. So there's that sort of creative direction, which you know, Jody and our clients contribute a lot to, because we wouldn't know in that example that cards shouldn't be shown flat. And then that's being done while we're going out and contracting with influencers and then starting to schedule the content. And we schedule the content usually for a 30-day campaign, the content will go up in the first 10 days, be scored and optimized, and then boosted for the rest of the time period. Both. Both. So we've been doing influencers since like 2008, and we kept that database of everybody we'd ever worked with. And then when we created Carousel as a spinoff company, we licensed the database as well. And then so we've worked with, I don't know, probably 5,000-6,000 that we've actually contracted with. And then sometimes people will come to us and say, you know, I want influencers with a philanthropy focus. They have to live in Tampa Bay. Well, you know, 60,000 influencers gets really small all of a sudden, so then we go out and we do that manual stuff that many of you have probably done of, you know, crawling through Instagram feeds, looking for people, finding their contact information, getting them to sign up so we can pull their data. So it's a mix. Anything else? All right, well, my flight leaves in less than 2 hours, and I'm downtown, which is apparently problematic. So if you have questions for me, I'm jim@carousel.com. I'll happily answer them. Put Social Media Strategy Summit in the subject lines so I don't delete it. But otherwise I'm gonna run to the airport. But
thank you.